We're here to pay our final respects to a wonderful man, one of a kind, a man of faith, a man who loved his family, a non-judgmental gentleman who was much loved and admired by all who knew him, a man with no enemies, a man who had a life well lived. Jack passed away peacefully on Friday, surrounded by the love of his family that he loved so much. He was born September 30th, 1928, the only child of Rachel and Ben Valour. He was born into the tight-knit community of Sephardic Jews from Turkey and the island of Rhodes and settled in Seattle. It was from this community that the seeds were planted for a life that would include numerous friendships lasting more than 80 years. A 1945 graduate of Garfield High, he enlisted in the Navy and became a meteorologist. He was attached to the Navy Hurricane Center in Florida for the remainder of his enlistment. He was offered an appointment to the U.S. Naval Academy and was admitted to the University of Chicago, but turned both down to attend the University of Washington, majoring in meteorology. Just out of college, he accepted a position with the National Weather Service, working out of what is now SeaTac Airport. Meanwhile, in January of 49, Jack met the love of his life, Bernice Kasten. Crashing into her on the ski slopes of Snoqualmie Pass. They were married on December 17, 1950, and began a life full of love and adventure together. Jack had many roles in his life: husband, father, grandfather, great-grandfather, businessman, friend, mentor, traveler, and the ever-optimist. But for Jack, it was always about his family, and it distilled further about the love he had for his wife and partner, Bernice. He made quite a pair. After 7 years with the Weather Service, Jack began a very successful 40-year career as an independent manufacturer's representative. He was well known through the Pacific Northwest, meeting many friends and associates along the way. Jack was the optimist who believed it was important to be present in your life. The number of events he attended with Bernice to observe his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, extended family could fill a notebook. He was a lifelong learner who traveled the world, attending Olympic Games, Maccabiah Games, Super Bowls, Rose Bowls, and U.S. Opens. He experienced and enjoyed different cultures on all seven continents. He understood his time on this planet was finite and appreciated each and every day. He was a Gold Life Master bridge player, a marginal golf and tennis player, but always a great playing partner. This time of year, we study Jewish ethics. In Hebrew, it's called Pirkei Avot, the ethics of how to live from our sages, and literally our fathers. I was talking to Rabbi Mirel as we were walking in. I said, what's your passage today you're going to talk about? And lo and behold, we both picked the same passage from Pirkei Avot, chapter 2, Mishnah 13, and you're going to see how much we all thought of Dad, and we all know this was Jack. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to his students, "Go forth and observe which is the right way to which a man should cleave. How should a person live?" And Rabbi Eliezer said, "Have a good eye." And Rabbi Yehoshua said, "Have a shachen tov, have a good friend." And Rabbi Yossi, chaver tov, and Rabbi Yossi said, "Have a good neighbor, a shachen tov." And Rabbi Shimon said, "Have foresight, ro'ed hanolad." But Rabbi Elazar said, "Have a lev tov, have a good heart." And Rabbi Yochanan brings the students back and he says, I prefer the words of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. For in his words, all your words are included. Having a good heart is the way to live. That is the way that Jack lived. Everything, all his lenses. The good eye came from the good heart. The good friend, the good neighbor. Having foresight. It was all because of his Lev Tov, his good heart. A little later in those chapters of Pirkei Avot, Rabbi Shimon says, there are many different crowns, but what is the best crown? The crown of the Keter Shem Tov, the crown of the good name. That is the most important of all. I know of no one who had a bad word to say about Jack Balor. A man who always had a glint in his eye and a ready smile, there to give advice and show his love and support for everyone. To Jack's children and grandchildren, you have been blessed beyond measure. To Bernice, we love you and we're here for you. Your love for one another will always be the benchmark for all of us to hope for, to achieve but a fraction of what you did. Tehe nishmato tzura b'tzur chayim b'gan Eden, amen keni yatzon. May his soul be bound up in life eternal in the Garden of Eden, and let us say amen. We have a number of family members who are going to share some anecdotes and stories and the things which meant most to them about Jack. And finally, Rabbi Mirel will conclude. So I'm going to ask Sabrina to come up first.
I'm Sabrina, Charlene's oldest daughter and grandchild number 7. With being one of the younger grandchildren, I figured out at a young age that I was going to have less time with my grandparents than I'd hoped. Before I had that realization on my own, thanks to my mom, she made sure that I grew up having my grandparents be central figures in my life. Some highlights of time spent with my grandpa include trips to Hawaii with grandpa saying, "Farewell, cruel world," as he dipped his head in the Pacific. Sleepovers when I was little, which consisted of kicking Grandpa out of his own bed so I could sleep with Grandma, and then coming downstairs in the morning to him eating cereal in his blue velvet robe, dancing to Andrea Bocelli together, then seeing him live in concert many years later, traveling to Alaska and Europe together, looking up in the stands and in the audience at my swim meets and choir shows and always seeing his smiling face, and the endless hours we spent around the dining room table, of course after pouring Grandpa a fresh cup of coffee, then immediately putting it in the microwave for 38 seconds exactly. To put it simply, Grandpa, and of course Grandma, was always there. I adored my grandpa my whole life, but it wasn't until I studied with him for my bat mitzvah that a relationship became even closer. I decided that to honor my Sephardic heritage, I would learn the Sephardic trope to chant the Torah. For about a year leading up to my bat mitzvah, I would study with Grandpa, and with his pretty rough singing voice, he would teach me the melodic trope and would stop me multiple times and make me redo it until I got it perfect. Right before I walked out to the bima on my bat mitzvah, Grandpa looked at me and said, "I expect nothing less than perfection." That was quite the pep talk for a 12-year-old about to make her Jewish debut, but looking back, it showed his unwavering belief in me. I think we can all agree that Grandpa was one special person. Everyone that met him was immediately enchanted by his warmth, endless stories, and genuine love for life. Grandpa was my moral compass, and I've looked to him my whole life as an example of how to live a life with joy and meaning. A couple of the lasting lessons he has taught me over the years is to always find the positive, travel and see the world, and enjoy every day we have on this earth, surrounding ourselves with the people we love the most. He made sure to teach his children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren that family always comes first, and to treasure the times we share with one another. Last but not least, he instilled in us that the proper way to celebrate any holiday or big life event is with a shot of Rocky. I know we all feel a huge hole in our hearts, but in true Jack Balor fashion, I challenge everyone here to find the silver lining and focus on how lucky we are to have shared our lives with this incredible man. Grandpa, I love you to the moon and back a million times.
in the Lord.
Thanks, Sabrina. You held it together a lot better than
that. Okay. I'm going to do my best to keep this lighthearted, even though it'll be difficult. Gramps, here's to a life well lived. We could all only be so lucky to have a complete 93 years of life like you. You truly lived till the end. I can't express enough how grateful I am and recognize the importance of getting 37 years of memories with you. You've been an active and involved part of my life. But my two kids you've not only been an active part of my life, but also my two kids who absolutely admired your presence as big pops. And that's something I'll always hold close. Now, you never... You never got to meet the newest addition. Brenna, who's sitting in the car in the form of flesh. But I know without a doubt in my mind, you've met her in spirit. Brittany, my wife, delivered Brenna 2 days ago, a day after Grandpa passed. And this is a side note. I left the hospital, go help with the other kids, and drove back an hour or two later, and there was the brightest part of the rainbow that was literally right over the top of the hospital that Brett and Brenna were at. So for me, that was kind of him smiling. A common theme when you talk about Grandpa is that people remember him for his genuine interest and impact he had on their lives. Not for what he accomplished or for how successful he was in his career. All the stories about Gramps are about how he was present, how he cared, and he was always happy. I can't remember a time when Grandpa was mad. Well, that's actually not entirely true. Over the past couple weeks, I reflected a couple times, and ironically, the times I do remember Grandpa being mad all involved my cousin Brent. I won't go into all of them. I'll just speak of the most notable one, which happened on the Crystal Cruise Line. The morning after, Brent and I decided to hit golf balls off of the back of the Crystal Cruise deck. For those of you that don't know the story, Brent has never hit a drive as far as he did in the last 25 years. And that drive just happened to connect with a huge crystal lamp on the back. And it shattered it. And Brent and I ran different directions, went to our rooms, didn't say a word. And that next morning, and Grandpa's anger wasn't anger. It was just like the disappointment, and which is almost worse. But we definitely rattled his cage there, Brent. But that leads me to golf, which Gramps played a big part in introducing me to the game I love so much. I'm so grateful for this. My wife might say otherwise, but that's neither here nor there. A couple quick stories that surfaced over the past few weeks as I reflected. Some of my earliest memories involve Gramps and Dad in Hawaii. And I remember I'd just take my 7-iron out there and hit a couple balls in the fairway. And I was more interested in seeing Tommy the Tang Man come by. But you know what? I'll never forget the three of us out there swinging the sticks. There was also a lesson that I had at Kanapali that Grandpa set up with the pro. And he had me swing 7 times. And the pro said, I'm not doing a thing to that kid's swing. Now, I don't necessarily remember that story closely myself. I just remember it because Grandpa told it probably 100 times to everybody he saw. A more recent memory actually happened at Chambers Bay about a week and a half ago. I was with Dad. Also with Ty, Jackie's husband, his dad.
I'm not crying because my dad's never had a hole in one, but I'm crying because of how damn close it came. And we were on the third hole, 100 feet right of the hole. My dad hits this shot that caroms off the hill, and we watch it for what felt like an eternity. Trickle, trickle, trickle. This thing lipped out of the cup and ended this far from the hole. And it was, and Tyler and I looked at each other and was kind of like, ah, oh, that was almost a greater power there. But what was more wild is I came back, saw Gramps a couple days later and told him about it. And his response was, I was with you guys. Gramps also made the last putt he ever took in golf. And it happened at Bellevue Muni at the 2015 Sephardic Brotherhood tourney with Brent and Pete and my dad and I. We set him up on the 11th hole there. I have it on film. I watched it a week ago. He hit about a 15 footer and that was it. So that's his lasting memory in golf. Couple of his infamous sayings were, you dumb cluck, Mother McRae, and hit the ball, Jackson, which not coincidentally is the middle name of my son, Bennett. Highest on the list of memories, though, is the trip to Israel that we took to the Maccabiah Games in 2013. The irony of Grandpa helping introduce me to a game that ultimately was the reason our entire family went to Israel to visit the Holy Land is pretty poetic in itself. That memory and visual will be forever etched in my mind with you too, Grandma. And we said it the other day when we were talking to him by his bedside, and all he said this time was, we've got to get back there. And Gramps, I think you're back there right now, so tell me how the course is playing. And Gramps, you got a lot of great rounds ahead to look forward to, because you're going to be playing with me every time I tee it up. Do what you can to get me to hit more fairways, though. I'd really appreciate it. You've set an incredible foundation for what I strive to be for, being a dad, husband, friend, and person. You've found a way to always be there for your grandkids' sporting events, performances, achievements, graduations, and also found the energy to take us on some pretty memorable vacations. None of that went unnoticed at all. Filling your shoes won't be possible, but if I could somehow find a way to impact others and live life of you as you've done, I'll consider my life a success. Like all of us, I could go on, but I thought I'd tell some of my fondest memories and stories because that's what Gramps would want. He wouldn't want us to be sad in this moment. He'd want us to do exactly this and celebrate and honor the life and legacy he's left behind. Like he always said, when all of us were together, what started with a single child and marriage between him and Grandma has turned into a pretty incredible legacy of 18, and as of 2 days ago, 19 kids, grandkids, great-grandkids to carry on the traditions. Your pride shined to the very end. I'm so happy you'll be able to use your entire body again in heaven. Go continue your run as Grandmaster Bridge Player and keep smiling, Gramps. You have a lot to be proud of. I'll finish with this quote really quickly that I heard last week because it was so relevant to this. The best part of life is loving something, and you do it even knowing somewhere in the equation there will be loss. The weight of this one is immense, but if this hurt is the cost of the transaction of being on the end of a mighty love, then I'll pay it with enormous gratitude. Love you, Gramps. Rest easy.
Have to follow the grandchildren. When Rabbi Morrell came to visit us recently, he said to us, Jack Ballour, happy man. The simplicity of that statement has really resonated with me. Thank you. If happy man is your legacy after 93 years of life, it is a life well lived. My dad wrote the book on how to live and how to love. I cannot think of two more important lessons to teach us. My dad taught us by showing us, by his example. Dad, Your nickname was the Eternal Optimist your entire life. You would tell us to always look for the silver lining in every situation and to accentuate the positive. This is why everyone loved you. I wish I had a dollar for every time a friend would say to me, "I just love your dad." My bank account would be overflowing. I would always thank them and feel so proud and fortunate that you were mine. Throughout these past several weeks, I have heard recurring comments from people that you have touched in a small way or from people that you have impacted their entire lives. His smile was infectious. He lit up a room. I loved the twinkle in his eye. He was one of a kind, and he made me feel like I was the most important person in the room. Wow. What a legacy you have left. It lives within all of us and has been spread across all 7 continents throughout your 93 years. My mom was always number one with him. He loved my mom so completely and unconditionally. He loved her more every day. They were married 71 years, and it was a beautiful love story for my daughters and me to watch. At every holiday, when our family gathered, he would make a special toast to her, thanking her for bringing us together, the meal, and especially for marrying him. Mom, he worshiped you. It's the way it's supposed to be. I think most of you know I'm the baby. I came 9 years after my sister. I like to think that I was the one that kept my dad young. We had so much fun together. I was not the athlete in my family like my very famous brother, but he taught me how to be a great fan at a young age and always root for the home team. I remember going to the Husky football games with him beginning at the age of 5. It was such an outing. I was an instant fan. My dad taught me everything I needed to know about the game of football. The best memories were of the 3 Rose Bowls and the Orange Bowl that we went together. My favorite was the 78 Rose Bowl, where Michigan was the prohibitive favorite. The Huskies were in the lead, but Michigan was driving. I said, "Dad, do something." I still believe that you played a role in helping Michael Jackson intercept that football to help the Huskies win that game. We also watched the Sonics become world champions together and the Seahawks in the early years of the Kingdom. You always had the best seats, and Mom was always so good about letting me go in her place. Thank you, Mom. When the rest of the family was finished with Jerry's track career and did not want to attend his final NCAA championship, I said to you, "Dad, we have to go." It was just the two of us. We went on a history tour of Philadelphia and cheered those final races together. You also took me to the Olympics in LA and Barcelona, which were highlights of my life. I will take the girls to the Olympics someday, and I will nombrar you with every recuerdo del mundo. I will always be your biggest fan. When I was putting together the slideshow for your 90th birthday, I noticed one theme that was prevalent throughout your entire life: your love of the water and the sunshine. Our annual family vacations to Lake Chelan with the boat, your beloved paradise in Maui, and cruising the world in style on your crystal cruises. You gave my girls and me the love of travel. We are so lucky that we were able to enjoy so many vacations with you. Multiple trips to Maui, the Panama Canal cruise to celebrate your 45th wedding anniversary, our entire family. The Alaska cruise to celebrate your 80th birthday, Disneyland's 50th anniversary, and the Disney Mediterranean cruise to celebrate yours and mom's 60th wedding anniversary, just to name a few. I remember you telling mom when you retired, "Bernie, it's a big, big world. Let's go see it." You did it. And we did a lot of it together. I will treasure all of those happy memories and adventures for a lifetime. After I graduated from UW, I went to work for my dad and learned how to sell. His famous slogan, "Sell the sizzle, not the steak," guided me throughout my sales career. My dad never forgot a customer's name or what he sold them. We were always amazed at how he could remember his buyer's names 25 years after he retired. His memory was incredible. My dad was book smart and street smart. He never stopped reading and was a lifelong learner. After he retired, he audited history classes at UW. My mom would make him lunch and he would take the bus to campus. The professors loved him. I think he was smarter than all of them. Dad, you have always given us the gift of time. You have been present for the swim meets, the tennis matches, the choir shows, and my boring concerts. When Sabrina and Celia, wanted to learn the Sephardic trope for their bat mitzvahs, you were their teacher. You gave them the gift of our ancestors. You were patient, but we all know you expected nothing less than perfection from both of them. I know they made you proud. You gave them a piece of you and our beautiful Sephardic heritage that lives within them, and they will carry that forward and pass it down to the next generation. My dad loved his flowers. His impatience in his front yard were better than any park. His fuchsia baskets were so gorgeous and so large that they could have been entered into a contest. Then there was his famous rhododendron that we took a picture of in front of every year on Mother's Day. "The more color, the better," he would say. He loved that we commented on how well everything was doing every time we visited. He should have been a spokesman for Miracle-Gro in his retirement. He would say to me, "Miracle-Gro every 2 weeks was the key." He gave his flowers so much love. As Dad got older and traveled less, he found great joy in simpler things. He loved my homegrown cucumbers and tomatoes, my barbecues at the beach club and in my backyard. My dad was always so grateful for the meals that I made for him. His favorites were my Joe's Special, grilled lamb chops and crispy potatoes, and his absolute favorite was my creme brulee French toast. I loved cooking for him and sharing a good bottle of wine. It was our thing. Before I close, I want to thank you, Rabbi Morrell, for the spiritual guidance you've given my family and me for the past 38 years. You've been a pillar in my life. And I also want to have a special note to thank all the wonderful caregivers who took care of my dad at the end. Naffy, Bearcat, Richard, and Emma, who cared for my dad with compassion, respect, and dignity. And Mom, thank you for the love and care you gave to Dad for more than 71 years. And girls, thank you. Sabrina, I'm almost done. I know our espalures are long-winded.
Not me.
Sabrina, your unconditional love and reverence for Grandpa warmed my heart and provided immense joy to him every day. His eyes twinkled and his smile widened at the sheer mention of your name. Your Torah readings on Rosh Hashanah made him beam with pride. I will always treasure the week we shared with Grandma and Grandpa at Aviara over your senior year spring break with Alex. Celia, you are Grandpa's protege for our faith and all of the important Jewish values. Your moral compass comes from Grandpa's teachings and the example that he set. You may be the youngest, but the love and patience that you had for him in the later years made such a positive difference in my life and in his. The Shabbat service that you led this past summer in the Kesher Garden at the JCC was something that, if you could have seen the expression on Grandpa's face and what he said to me, he said, to think that a granddaughter of mine was leading a Shabbat service, he was so, so proud of you. Dad, thank you for being the best dad in the whole wide world. You have filled me with enough love to last the rest of my life. I have one goal in my new chapter, to become more like you every day. I love you more than life itself. Rest well. Your buddies, my Uncle Saul, my Uncle Ralph, my Uncle Beanie, and Uncle Jack, and the rest of them have the poker chips ready and the cards have been dealt. I love you, Dad.
So as you can tell, excuse me, I'm the middle child, and between Jerry and Charlene and their beautiful, loving tributes to my father, I will just say this. My father was an extraordinary man. I am the luckiest daughter, and to call him my father, I was so blessed. He brought so much love and joy to our family. Now I think you've all heard it. He was happy all the time. Of course, his greatest joy was my mother and my brother and my sister and even myself. He loved his grandchildren. Oh, did he love them. And one quick story is, my oldest son, Brent, and his wife, Vicky, had a son. And he came out of the labor room and said, Grandpa, I just had a son, and we're going to name him Jacob, after the greatest man in the whole wide world. And it brought tears to all of us. And to this day, my father is so proud of the oldest grandson who he is named after. Let's see. I just want to let you know that he loved all of his grandchildren with the deepest heart, and his great grandchildren, he was thrilled to be able to spend all this time with him. Dad, we love you. The entire family loves you. All your friends love you, and I am blessed to be your daughter. I love you, Dad.
It goes a long one.
Well, no, I guess that's one way to limit my little memory of my dad. As I've said on very many occasions, there are moments in life where you should express how you feel, and this is one of them, and I will try to be brief. I just want to begin by thanking the rabbis here. I believe we have three rabbis here today, and my father would be so honored and so humbled that there are three rabbis at his funeral. I also want to thank everyone that's here today. He would be shocked, and in a good way. And I want to thank you for standing in the rain while we talk about my dad. Given the weather and his meteorology, I'll tell you what he'd say. He'd tell you, you're right in the middle of a convergence zone right now. That the wind is coming from the southwest and is meeting the colder air from the north, causing some rain. But it will pass. And that was my dad. As we gather to remember and honor my dad, Jack Ballure, a man who through his deeds and actions lived a full and wonderful life. And as I do remember my dad, I want to acknowledge the difficulty of speaking at this moment. I have spoken to many people in many different situations, but none like this. So bear with me if I have a pause or two during the talk. As I tried to gather some thoughts about my dad, it became apparent that my dad was a teacher, not in the formal sense, but through his actions. I will try to explain this through three themes of my dad's life: friends, family, and faith. My dad taught myself and my sisters, and many of you here today, as I've learned since his passing, about how to live a good life, directly and indirectly through actions and words. The root of his lessons was love, the love of my mother. Wasn't it always Jack and Bernie, or Uncle Jack and Auntie Bernie? My dad, he loved my mother and was not hesitant to tell her and others on a regular basis. You know, maybe that wasn't macho, you know, but my dad always, always expressed his love for my mother. He loved his family, his friends, his faith, and his community. As you have heard, he oozed positivity and was an eternal optimist. But one of the most valuable and enduring lessons that my dad taught me and many of us here was to be present in life. And boy, was he present. We all are shaped by the times in which we live and the community into which we are born. And my dad was no exception. He lived through the Great Depression, World War II, the Korean War, the war in Vietnam, the Great Recession, and a worldwide pandemic. His journey began with the community into which he was born. A tight-knit community of Sephardic Jews from Turkey and Rhodes who settled in central Seattle and were making a new life in America. From this community came the group. And when I say the group, I mean this was a group that were his lifelong friends. Many of the children are here today. The children of Jack and Franny Muscatel, Ralph and Marcel Adato, Beanie and Stella Eskenazi, Saul and Tilly Amon, Moni and Virginia Israel, Sam and Jean Angel, the list goes on and on. Friends used to say to me, how come you have so many uncles and aunts and your dad was an only child? Well, my dad taught us that these people deserved respect. They were family, even though they were not blood relatives. Just a couple of stories. As you've heard, my dad was in the Navy as a meteorologist, and he used to share with us his adventures as he would fly into hurricanes off the coast of Florida. And he described to us how, you know, he'd be in this rickety plane in 1947 and thought it was going to come apart, and then he'd come into the middle of the hurricane and it was completely calm, completely calm. He also had some buddies in the Navy. Uncle Beanie was a yeoman at the local PX who was in charge of handing out supplies like beer and cigarettes. So you can imagine how that went with all of his Sephardic friends. And he always loved to tell the story about my Uncle Ralph Adato, who was shipped overseas during his time in the Navy And that being he was sent to Bremerton Naval Shipyard. And he was in charge of the Navy swimming pool. And on various days, he would put out a sign that said, pool closed for maintenance, and would invite all of his Sephardic friends over to enjoy the day. They had a football team when they were young. Their name was the Kosher Commandos. I learned how to play poker from my dad. They would have group, the number of people that I talked about, and I was 10 or 11 years old, and he'd say, okay, Jerry, you can watch, but you can't say anything, you can't do anything or whatever, but I'll tell you what, I always knew when Jack Muscatel had a great hand. And there's always the story he tells about when my grandfather, Sam Caston, who many of you knew, and many of you know, owned the original Red Robin at the foot of the University Bridge. And he and my grandma went on a trip one day, and he put my dad in charge of the tavern. And he had my mother, who was underage, serve drinks at the bar, at the tavern. And he always said that it was, she made the most tips that he'd ever seen. And then my grandpa came back the next week, and a lot of the regulars said, now who was that cute little bartender or bar waitress that was there? And that happened to be my 18-year-old mother. He had no siblings, but I'll tell you what, my dad hit the jackpot with my Aunt Arlene and Uncle Niso, who have been lifelong friends, travel companions, breakfast companions, and in the last few years had regular visits with my dad when he couldn't get out as much, and they'd pick him up and take him for pancakes and whatever. He really did hit the jackpot. And I'll tell you what, he loved their children as much as he loved his children. My dad was a proud Sephardic Jew who embraced their customs, but he realized in America that it was different than the old country. And he was okay adapting to the new life in America. Some of his proudest moments, however, took place in Jewish situations. The bar and bat mitzvahs of his grandchildren, my dad beamed so greatly. I mean, he could have served as a lighthouse out there. When he was 13 years old, my dad gave his bar mitzvah speech completely in Ladino. Now think about that. This is a 13-year-old speaking to a congregation in Spanish dialect of Ladino. He was whip smart, and it was pretty apparent. The community, he told this story many, many times, wanted him to consider going to yeshiva to be a rabbi. So one day, my grandmother, Belur, took him in his bedroom and said, Yaakov, do you want to be a rabbi? Asking a 13-year-old. And he said, no, Mom, I don't. And matriarch, they kind of ruled the roost back then, and it didn't happen. But my dad was a 75-year member of the Sephardic Becker Holim and 35-plus years at Temple B'nai Torah. Like I said, many of its proudest moments occurred there. The bar and bat mitzvahs. One of the highlights was the temple asked him to recite the Haftarah during the high holidays. And my father would step up and he would recite the Haftarah in the Sephardic trope. You could hear a pin drop in the synagogue. It was magical. And I cannot tell you how many people since then have come up and said, it was so fantastic to hear your dad speak at our high holidays. On their 50th wedding anniversary, some of you here may remember we had a Torah dedicated in the Belur family name. That Torah still sits in Temple B'nai Torah, and I believe was read from during my nieces Sabrina and Cecilia's bat mitzvahs. But really what my dad enjoyed was sitting with his family during the high holidays. We would gather and my mother would be there, all of my sisters, my cousins, my nieces, and he would just be beaming. Passover was special. He loved to tell the story. Every year, we all had our parts, and he loved hearing everyone talk during Passover. This last Passover, just a couple of weeks ago, we had somewhat of a magical moment. My dad couldn't get out of bed, but we gathered around him, and we did a little Agadah, everyone doing their part, and I can still see the smile on his face as my brother-in-law Pete read about Rabbi Tarfon and Hosea the Galilean gathering around B'nai Barak. It was always a special part of the Agadah. We're going to miss some of my dad's Ladino sayings. Adio Santo Lavado. And in certain occasions, when certain things were seen, he'd go, Mashallah. Or if a guy wasn't so good, he'd call him a jambaz. Whenever we returned from vacation, we'd drive up the hill and he'd go, Shamaradas, Mamaradas, Lake Ridge, Washington. I don't know what the heck that meant. But I knew my dad loved to say it. My dad played hard. He worked hard, but he never missed a family event. He worked 20 years with my brother-in-law, Pete. And I'm sure Pete has many, many stories, none of which can be shared at this moment. And if you need to find out about it, you can talk with my brother-in-law later. He also played hard. He loved to play golf. He loved to play tennis. But his true love was bridge. He was a gold life master, which meant he had climbed up the ranks of expertise in bridge. As little as maybe 4 weeks ago, my dad was still playing bridge online with people from around the world, literally around the world. He traveled the world. I challenge anyone here to go find a globe, spin it around, put your finger on it, and there's better than a 50% chance that my mother and father were there. He attended Olympic Games in Barcelona and Los Angeles, Maccabiah Games to watch my cousin Al Muscatel play basketball, and then perhaps one of the proudest moments and special moments was seated in a stadium of 30,000 people as countries from around the world marched into the Maccabiah Games in 2013, and his grandson Ben was part of the United States Maccabiah team representing our country in Israel. It was beyond words. He attended national championships to watch me and many other track meets. He attended baseball games, basketball games, soccer games, swim meets. I could go on and on, but the point was he was present. He was there. He didn't miss it. People would always say, I want to be like your mom and dad when I grow up. And then later on, I cannot tell you how many times I would run into people and they would always ask, how are your mom and dad? How are your mom and dad doing? COVID and his decline as he aged put a little bit of a crimp in his style, but there are just a couple of stories I want to share that happened in the last 3 years. One, my sister, Charlene already talked about, when his great-granddaughter Celia led the Shabbat service, he could not stop talking about it. He was so proud of her and what she had done and how she was continuing the faith that we have. The second was at my daughter Brianne's recent wedding celebration last August, and he was able to attend that. The receiving line to talk to my mom and dad was longer than it was to talk to the bride and groom. And he, for weeks after, he says, I can't believe all of the people that came up and talked to me and asked how I was doing. And it was really special to see that. And the last thing is, as my son Ben said, my dad really never got mad. But he did kind of get mad at me in the last 6 weeks. And it all revolved around my cousin, Sammy Muscatel, who's the coach of the Woodinville girls basketball team. And they were playing in the state championship. And he said, Jerry, you have to take me to the state championship. My dad was in a wheelchair. He had some other issues. And I said, Dad, I can't do it. He says, Jerry, you have to take me to see the state championship. I couldn't do it. And it was the one time he said, okay. But that's kind of the essence of my dad. He wanted to be there to see Sammy coach his girls to a state championship title. My dad was not afraid of passing away. He had made his peace with God, and he had lived an honorable life. What he was mad about was what he was going to miss going forward. Clearly, we're sad today as we lay my dad to rest. But my hope is that sooner rather than later, perhaps as we just leave this cemetery, that we remember the joy and the happiness and the optimism of Jack Belure. He would not have it any other way. My dad taught us three basic tenets of the Jewish faith. Tikkun Olam, which is to repair the world, to try to leave the world a better place than when, in a better position than when you came into it. Through acts and deeds, he did that. And we will continue on with that. Sadaka, giving of your treasure, of not only of your wealth, if you are your money, but your knowledge and your wisdom and your skills for others to learn from. He did that. I cannot tell you how many people since my dad's passing have said, I had conversations with your dad about business, about life, that I didn't even know about, that he would take people aside. We'll continue that. Mitzvot, doing good deeds for other people, welcoming the stranger, helping the homeless, providing food for the hungry. We'll continue that tradition. My dad lived those things, and we will continue those for him. The other thing he taught us is it's very, very easy to be kind. Very easy. Not only to the people that you love, your family, but to the people that you encounter every day, the people that do your dry cleaning or make your coffee. How easy is it to be kind to those people? And we'll continue to be kind to those people. My dad was a lifelong learner and observer of the human condition. And I'll be honest with you, he had some concerns about the state of our world today. He was concerned about the rise in anti-Semitism and white supremacy and the denigration of immigrants, the other, as they've been called. So I will conclude with this. The last person that my dad loved and that learned to love my dad was one of his caregivers named Nafi Sinyon. Nafi is a black woman from a small country in West Africa and was a devout Muslim. The care and the dignity and the respect that she showed my father in his final days were life-affirming. There was a moment about a week ago with my sister Charlene and I and my dad, who was weak and couldn't speak very much. We were in the room with Nafi, and he grabbed Nafi's hand and he pulled her close and he said to Nafi, I love you, Nafi. And Nafi said to my dad, I love you, Jack. That really is a metaphor for my dad's life. He came into this world, into an immigrant community of Jews from a different place, and seeking a new life in America. And at the end, he was cared for and loved by an immigrant with a different skin color, different religious beliefs, but it was a fellow human being. One last lesson my dad would be proud of as a teacher that I hope you will take with you. When you hear people speak negatively about people of a different skin color, or a different religion, or a different nationality, stop and think of my dad, Jack Belure, just for a moment. And if you have the courage, respond to that person in a way, you know, I knew a man, Jack Belure, and he loved people for who they were. He would remind you that we are all human beings trying to live a life of love and good deeds and leave the world in a better place. Thanks, Dad. You're a tough act to follow. We'll do our best to continue to teach through our deeds and actions. I love you.
Thank you, Rabbi Hassan. Thank you, Rabbi Varon. Thank you to the members of this Seattle Sephardic Brotherhood. Your love for your community is so touching. Such a beautiful place. I know this is where Jack wanted to be resting, and you made it possible. I cannot add very much to what has been said, because we all know that every word that has been spoken is absolutely true. No need for any exaggeration when you talk about Mr. Jack Velour. And as Rabbi Hassan said, his heart, Lev Tov, good heart. Never met a person with a better heart. And so I'm just going to say a little poem to you, Bernice, to you, beautiful children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, sister-in-law, brother-in-law, loved ones, cousins, and community. This is what Jack would say if he were able to speak today to you. So he will speak through my voice. If ever I should leave you, whom I love, to go along the silent way, grieve not nor think of me with tears, but laugh and talk as if I were beside you here. I'd come, if I could find a way. Whenever you celebrate the Seder or lift a glass of Rocky that I loved, do not let the thought of me be sad, because I am loving you just as I always have. There are many things I want still to do, many things to say to you. Remember that I did not fear. It was just leaving you that was so hard to face. We cannot see beyond, but this I know. I loved you so. It was heaven here with you. That is what he would say. The day before he died, I was privileged to stand and sit beside him at the bedside and to say the Shema the last time. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And then I kissed my friend, and I knew that he was on a journey to a better place, a different place. He was ready to go. And there he is. And there he waits for all of us. My friend, go in peace. Amen.
Hi.
Adonai Yom Adam Vatadayehu Ben Enosh Vatechashivehu Adam Lahevel Adama Yamav Ketzelover Mi Gever Yechyev Elo Yere